Shabbos?
No, we're going to discuss minhagim. We will discuss the minhag of wearing a kittel on Yom Kippur. Now, before we begin with Yom Kippur, let me ask you, let me take a poll. Does anyone here have a kittel on Rosh Hashanah?
I've heard of it, I don't
know. No?
Yeah.
You don't?
Me and several other people in this show wear kittel.
Do you wear kittel on Rosh Hashanah?
No. The religious functionaries do. The guys in the
I guess I'm a religious functionary.
Does the rabbi wear a kittel?
Now I wear
the kittel on Rosh Hashanah. Over here?
Yeah.
I didn't mean over here, but now that
you
said it.
I asked
everywhere
I've been,
I think. The rabbi wears a kittel, and the Baltikeya wears a kittel, and the Chazan wear a kittel for sure.
But the Tzibor.
Tzibor, there are Yechidim who wear.
Yechidim wear a kittel. Is everyone, anyone who daven Nusach Sfad, is there a different Nusach Sfad? They bedavka don't wear a kittel. More so. Nusach Sfad.
Based on the geographic
minhag. Only the ones that are from.
Could be. Okay, there's no question that it starts with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, everyone wears a kittel. That's a given. The question is if by extension it also spreads to Rosh Hashanah. So there are different minhagim, and it could be, it all depends on the various reasons, which I'm going to run through very quickly, some of the reasons of why we wear a kittel, and that will explain if we should wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah as well. I know my father, he wore a kittel on Rosh Hashanah. It was something that was symbol. I'm in the Young Israel. I don't remember clearly what most people did in the Young Israel.
Probably did not.
But my impression was they did. You know, it's funny. My impression was in the Young Israel of Jay, where my father was a rabbi, that they did. Could be I'm wrong. I'm just...
In the Israel flag, what did they do?
They don't.
Okay, fine.
I don't think they did. They probably don't either on Yom Kippur.
No, Yom Kippur, yes.
I don't.
You don't wear a kittel on Yom Kippur?
In the mirror,
he did not wear a kittel on Yom Kippur either. No. Okay, just take a fine.
Imagination, but a kittel on Yom Kippur doesn't go that far back.
So that depends. That depends on the sources.
I don't think everybody wore
it. Even on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like
accept it. Chok v'loyava. It'll ruin the shidduch if you don't wear a kittel on Yom Kippur.
I don't remember my father always showing wearing a kittel. My father didn't.
I don't either.
Okay. I accept.
I don't either.
After I davened in the Young Israel, I then went to daven for many, many years in Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. And Chaim Berlin is the complete opposite extreme in this regard. They have their own customs, and everyone wears a kittel. B'li yoytzim el haklal, even, we'll come to that in a few moments, even someone that's within Shana Rishona. There's a discussion, which one of the things I want to talk about, the first year of marriage. But they're wearing from the chasna, but during the Shana Rishona, it's accepted. That's very common, even if you are from a family that has a very strong tradition to wear a kittel, but you do not wear a kittel the first year of marriage. In Chaim Berlin, this is their custom. And they have all the sources. They really come, they have a lot of sources for this. I don't know where their customs come from. On Rosh Hashanah, every married adult wore a kittel. No difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And what's also interesting, this is just unique to Chaim Berlin. The tone of tefillah, the whole mindset, the frame of mind on Rosh Hashanah is almost identical to Yom Kippur. In other shuls, what I understand and what I've seen and what I've experienced, the frame of mind one is in on Rosh Hashanah is very different than Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a very serious, solemn day with quiet and awe, and Rosh Hashanah is more of a happy day. It's more of a day of a Yom Tov, of a Simcha. There's relaxed. That's the impression that I got, and that carries over into the fact that most people do not wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah, even if they do wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. But when I was there, Chaim Berlin, it made a very strong impression on me. There's no difference. It's like you, if you would come in and you would take a snapshot and look at the people, their frame of mind on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, identical.
I don't think it has to do with Chaim Berlin. It's a broader term. It's a yeshiva shadavani. In other words, how different you'll find the same climate probably in Torah Vedas or Wag.
It's different. I'll give you an example. At one point in time, I studied to serve as a shliach tzibur. I'm not very much of a professional shliach tzibur, but for a minyan and the 15 people in the basement and the people there don't know the difference between me and the biggest chazan, I could pass.
You're smart.
What?
You're smart.
For a few people that don't know the difference, so I spent a lot of time studying the nusach tefillah, and I have a lot of tapes, all different types of balei tefillah, and it hit me like a pile of bricks that the nusach in Chaim Berlin is a nusach of yira. There's a certain sense of, it's hard to describe. You have to listen and experience it. It's fear. In Torah Vidas, it's not. In Lakewood, it's not. In Lakewood, it's a nusach of simcha. Okay, there are certain parts of tefillah where you get very serious. But I'm talking about the theme, the general motif of the tefillah from beginning to end. In Lakewood, I have the biggest Bali tefillah from Lakewood. I have tapes from them. And I have from Torah Vidas, which is really, Lakewood and Torah Vidas are almost identical. And I have even from Eretz Yisrael, from Chevron, and different yeshivas and tells. A lot of yeshivas are more simcha, it's more joy. And you don't get this impression like, oh, it's Yom HaDin and the bolt of lightning is going to come out and strike you. Chaim is very different. I don't know where it comes from because their nusach is not a standard nusach. I really don't know where it's very different. Now they sing. Years ago they didn't sing at all. Now they sing a lot. It's because they changed. There's a new Baal Tefillah over the years, and he developed the Tefillah very differently than it used to be. There's a lot of singing. But even the singing that's done, everything is with a very strong emotion of fear. But that's not standard. And it comes out, I think, very much in the dress. Do you wear a kittel? Do you not wear a kittel? How does one conduct himself? And it fits very well. Chaim Berlin, their approach to tefillah on the Yom Noram is yira. It makes very good sense why they've taken the custom to wear a kittel, even on Rosh Hashanah, and even those who are married. First year, you also wear a kittel. Whereas those, Batei Kinesios and Batei Midrashos, where they focus more on simcha, especially Rosh Hashanah, you don't wear a kittel. It's not proper. And this fits very much in line with the Ramah. The Ramah, a lot of the commentators, I'm a dyke that the Ramah disagrees strongly with the Mechaber in regard to saying Slichos the entire Chodesh Elul. The Mechaber says, you say Slichos from Aleph Elul to the very end. The Ramah says, V'onu loy noyhagin kain. It's not just that, oh, we have a different minhag. We disagree. It's wrong to say Slichos the entire Chodesh Elul. Because if you're going to say Slichos the first day of Elul, when you'll come to Erev Rosh Hashanah, you'll be so bored. It'll be so meaningless. You'll be so accustomed to saying Slichos. It has no effect. You just can't do it. Say Slichos. You get burnt out before you even start. Therefore, V'anu loy lehagim came. Chas v'shalom. Don't you dare say Slichos at the beginning of Chodesh Elul. You want to say Slichos? Just this for a few days. The last 4 days. Now, if you don't have 4 days, so you have to stay the week before, like this year, we start the week before, because then you'll appreciate Slichos. If you can wear a kittel 3 days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, by the time to get there, and this is true, I see it myself in Chaim Berlin, there's a certain burnout. You can only maintain this Iris Haremus for a very limited amount of time. Yeah?
What is the purpose of the kittel?
Oh, I'm going to come to that in a few moments. It's tachrichim. It's Rabbi. I'm going to go through the reasons in a few moments. Pesach. So there are reasons. There are reasons as well. We'll go through some of them as we come to it. There are reasons that for Pesach as to why you wear a kittel. We'll get them out. But generally speaking, wearing a kittel represents a degree of holiness. We associate, like, I'll tell you one reason. We compare ourselves to the malachim. There are psukim, midrashim that say the malachim are dressed in white. They're clean, they're pure. So on the Yom Noraim, we try to relate to the malachim. Especially on Yom HaKippurim, when you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Yolam Vod out loud, we relate to the malachim. So we dress like the malachim, we dress in white. That's one of like 5-6 reasons which I'll try to present in a few moments. It represents a degree of holiness. I can just tell you from personal experience, I can't speak for anyone else. In Chaim Berlin, there are 1,500 people who daven there on the Yom Noraim, packed in literally like sardines. You can't even breathe. They take out all the tables. The size of the table is the size of your sitter if you're lucky to get a table. And the chairs, they take out the regular chairs. You sit on little teeny chairs. Pack, it's very hard to maintain this Yiras HaRoimus for 3 days. The beginning is good, but after a short period of time, we're only human beings, it's hard. So a regular shul, it's okay. You wear a kittel, you know, you get warmed up. It's the first day of Rosh Hashanah, second day of Rosh Hashanah, a little more, then it comes, Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. You climax with Yom Kippur. That, I think, is very normal, very healthy, very natural. The more you add to the basics, the more you're putting yourself at risk not to come to the important moments of time to feel to have that sensitivity to Kedusha. And that's exactly where the Ramah comes to disagree with the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, say Slichos Yantar Chol Yisheol. The Ramah says, V'onu Loi Nehagin Kain. If you do that, you're going to get burnt out and it's not going to have any meaning when it counts. And the same thing is, don't abuse the Kittel. The Kittel makes an impression. I always remember as a child coming to Shul Yom Kippur, and everyone for Kol Nidre, and everyone is dressed in the kittel and the talis, and many people put on white yarmulkes. It's very scary. It makes an impression, especially when you come at night. Whoever wears a talis at night, you're not used to seeing someone wear a talis at night, and especially dressed in the kittel, and people, you go, it makes an impression. If you're going to do this for 3 days, it's not going to make an impression when it comes to Yom Kippur. Yeah.
Why doesn't the burnout philosophy apply to Ashkenazim? Will blow shofar every day.
Because that's a very.
The time it comes to Rosh Hashanah,
it's a problem. It's a trade off. That's what the Ramah says, that instead of saying Slichos, Ramah acknowledges that there's something to saying Slichos the entire Chodesh Elul. And he says, and instead of saying Slichos, we blow shofar. So don't abuse the Slichos, abuse the shofar. Because the shofar is short, it's listening, it's a sound. You're not going to get burned out so quickly by listening to the blow of a shofar. Okay, so this is just something I want to, before we start, to point out this interesting idea is that there are many different customs with regard to when you wear a kittel. Many people today, it's accepted as a given that you wear a kittel on Yom Kippur, but Rosh Hashanah, there are different customs. Fine. Next thing. Okay, now what are the eco reasons why we wear? So let me just run through the reasons. We'll probably some of these tomorrow in more detail, but the basic reasons why we wear a kittel.
The kittel by a custom.
Okay, a chassan, why does a chassan wear a kittel? Yeah. Now, let's just see the reason for Yom Kippur. Once we know Yom Kippur, then we can...
I just ask if your attention can attend.
Yeah, not really. I didn't prepare. But maybe at some other point in time, we'll do... If we want to discuss minhagim before a chassan kala, a lot of books. That's one of them there. That when you come, you talk for a whole year on minhagim before a wedding. But right now, let's focus on minhagim before the yomim noyron. So the first, most basic reason is the malachi hashares. The malachi hashares are there are midrashim that state that the malachim are white. They're pure. They're dressed in white. And we attempt to imitate the Malachi HaShareis in dressing in white. The second reason is humility. What's the ultimate form of humility? Tachrichin. The clothing of the dead. So what are we wearing on Yom HaYom Naram? We're putting on Tachrichin. That's really what we're doing. Big day mason. And it's an attempt to break our arrogance as we approach the Yom Yom, to recognize that we are merely humans and we will not be here forever. Third reason is we beg for atonement, and in Chazal and Psukim, what's the pasuk? You know the Psukim better than me. Im chat echem, if your sins are, if you're guilty as, if you're red.
You know that if your chatom are as red as.
Wool,
let them
turn white. Kasheleg yalbinu, they will turn white as snow. Okay, I don't have the pasuk in front of me. Blina, maybe tomorrow I'll bring you. I'll prepare a little bit more to give you more of the details. But we want our sins to turn white, and that's the theme of the Yomim Noiroyim. Neila, we dress in white. But another reason is a pasuk in Koheles, b'chol eis yihyu bigodecha levanim. And every time, what is B'chol Eis? There are 28 Eitan. There's the Shiras Eitan in Sefer Koheles. There are 28 Eis, Laledes, Eis, Lamus, Eis, Latas. There's a time. at all times, yihyu begodecha levanim, which represents the idea a person should be pure, should be righteous. It's instruction, and here we are, the new year, we accept upon ourselves that throughout the year, as we come to all the 28 various tkufos in life, the 28 etim that appear in Sefer Koheles, when we come to these tkufos, we should conduct ourselves according to the laws of the Torah and the Nitzos, and we should be perfect. B'chol eis, at every moment, yihyu b'godecha levanim. That's another reason given by the commentators. And the fifth reason is, we try, now this only really works for Yom Kippur, which fits perfectly Yom Kippurim, but I'll explain to you a little bit about Rosh Hashanah as well, is Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol enters lefnai v'lefnim in big day lavan. He takes off the big day zohav, ein katego nasa sanego, he only wears the big day lavan. We try to emulate and to remind ourselves of the sanctity of this day where our representative, the Kohen Gadol, will come in lefnai v'lefnim only wearing the big day lavan. Now, when we take these five reasons and we play around with them, which we're not going to do now, obviously there will be a difference. Should we this apply only to Yom Kippur, or should be it extended to Rosh Hashanah? Obviously, if you want to focus on Malachi Hasharis, that would appear only to fit well with Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur is where we're compared to the Malachim, where we're atoned. We don't eat, we behave like angels who do not eat, and we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olilam loud, so that fits very well with Yom Kippur. It does not necessarily fit well with Rosh Hashanah. According to the approach that we want to compare to the Kohen Gadol, that goes Lefnai V'Lefnim, when does the Kohen Gadol go to Lefnai V'Lefnim? On Yom Kippurim. But if you want to focus on Big Day Nesim, we want to humble ourselves, it's not a bad idea. Rosh Hashanah, you should also humble yourself, still on Yom Kippurim. If you want to focus on B'chol Eis, Yehiyu B'Godecha Levanim, that's probably even better for Rosh Hashanah than Yom Kippurim, because Rosh Hashanah is when we're beginning the new year, and when it's decreed upon us all the various occurrences that will happen throughout the year. And we want to prepare, and hope, and pray that Hashem should give us the koyach throughout the year, B'chol Eis, Yehiyu B'Godecha Levanim. That would fit better with Rosh Hashanah than Yom Kippur. And what was the other reason I gave you? Our sin should turn white. So that probably fits better with Yom Kippur only, because Yom Kippur is when we actually get the atonement. Rosh Hashanah is not a day where we say, Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. So basically, I'll give five reasons, and the five reasons, most of them really fit better with Yom Kippur. And that's why the common minhag is to wear it on Yom Kippur. However, even if you want to focus on Yom Kippur, it's not necessarily a contradiction, because Rosh Hashanah is a lead-in. It's all a hachana to get to the climax of Yom Kippur, so it, all by extension, it's not necessarily so different. Now, what about a white hat? So, there is a minhag. There's definitely a minhag to wear a white yarmulke. To wear a white yarmulke. Who did I see wearing a white hat recently? Oh, I saw the Kalbach Slichas. I saw the Kalbach Slichas online on Matzah. They had a clip. So there was one. It's wild what's going on there. And there was one person that stood out in my mind. He was wearing a white hat. A white cowboy hat. You know who he is?
No, but it must be a good guy.
Okay, but there is definitely a custom. There is a custom to wear a white hat. I've seen this. Okay, now this is something which I find amazing. I'll read to you from the Sefer called Ketzei Hamata. I do not know the Sefer. Obviously, it's an old Sefer. It's not a Heintika. Not from this generation. The Yesh Nehagim Bizmanenu. There are those that are custom in our times. Lirkoim Al Hakoveya, to weave on the kaveh, on your hat, haposuk, ki bayoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem lefnei Hashem tetaru. Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. But this is a minhag. It used to be the minhag. Not only would you wear a white yarmulke, or would you wear some type of white hat. Okay, the battery is dead. I'll turn this off. The battery is dead. It's making the funny sounds. Not only would you wear a white yarmulke, not only would you wear a white hat, You would wear a psukim on your yarmulke, and he discusses that it's not so simple, because when you go into the Beis HaKisei or you go to places that it's not proper that a pasuk should be exposed, like in the street, you have a very big problem. So you should not put yourself in that situation where that's the only thing that you have on your head covering, because what are you going to do when you go into the street and you're in a place that's not clean? But it's interesting that Lubavitch has expanded this concept into other worlds. What about women? There are pages and pages here in this Sefer about the custom. After this is Jewish history. When you learn Minhagim, discover this. You're not just learning Minhagim, you're learning Jewish history. And there are pages and pages discussing the custom, the various customs of women. Two things. Wearing a kittel. Or you believe that there were communities that, just like, why only men? Women also should have to wear a kittel on the Yomim Noraim. And even then, when it became the custom for women not to wear a kittel among certain communities, at least their clothing was white. Their dresses were white dresses. That's not true today. I don't think it's not true today. Not because it's we're white, no, but Bedafka. All the women were dressed in white on the Yomim Noraim, because women also have the same obligation like men to impress upon themselves the Emes Hadin, the five reasons given. These are valid customs. They're rooted in source. In fact, I can't tell you this because I don't know the details well, but in this same Pardes Eliezer, he continuously quotes Piyutim where there are references to us being dressed in white and wearing white hats, and even references to women wearing white. So some of the Piyutim we actually say in the Nusach HaTfilah, just you have to know the translation, have a good art scroll or interlinear translation to see where it says this. He quotes these Piyutim, he quotes the exact sources, and there are many Piyutim which we do not say in our day and age. The style today is to be memayit, but in the back of a good machzor, you can find pages and pages, and you can buy books of Piyutim that were said by different communities, and there it explicitly, it's a record. Piyutim is a living record. I heard a share recently from, I think, Rabbi Shachter. The whole thing of the shiur was that Jews were never historians until recent times. This idea to record history, say it's a davar pashut, right? Even the President of the United States has with him at every single moment in time a person to record exactly what he did for the record. History. Go back 1,000 years. It wasn't an issue. People were not in a frame of mind where they had any desire to record what was happening. It's not just they didn't do it because they didn't have the ability to do it, or what?
That's more of an academic system.
They weren't interested. It's hard for us to relate. It's hard for us. No, it's not so. They weren't academics. They were brilliant people. They wrote piyutim. They were into poetry. They were into language. They were into the sciences. But they were not. They were in a different frame of mind where it didn't matter. It did not matter that what is happening today should be recorded for the future. Today, it's hard, it's impossible for us to relate to this today. Today, it's, of course, there has to be a record. There has to be a record of what is happening today for the future generations, for the future. And anything that we can dig up from the past is so important to us, so precious. It wasn't an issue. And that requires study. Why not? Why didn't they care? That's a discussion in and of itself. However, today we're desperate to dig up historical records. And what are the historical records? Only things that we know we can find indirectly. And one of the indirect sources is Piyutim. The Piyutim reveal a lot of Piyutim and Kinois and Slichos reveal in between the lines details, facts about the times that the Paitonim lived in. And this idea of white kittel for men and women, and is mentioned in a white hat with psukim written on the hat. Next thing, how far should the kittel go? Should the kittel go to your knees? You go to the eichlos, you want to buy a kittel, they try it on. Oh, it looks good, fits. Medium, large, extra large, small. So it's not so simple. It appears that the real minhag was to wear a kittel that goes all the way down, covers your feet. it should cover your toes, because it's not proper that you should, because they would in the ancient times they would not like today where we have the most comfortable leather, a comfortable plastic shoes and you can't tell the difference. They took it very seriously. If you're not supposed to wear shoes, there are two matters. There's the halachic matter. Leather is aser. If you're not allowed to wear leather, now what is the message Hashem is sending us? You should not feel comfortable on Yom Kippur. Therefore, if you're going to put on sneakers that are more comfortable than shoes, halachically you've done nothing wrong. And today the attitude is, it's mutter is mutter is mutter. It's the way, that's the way it is today. That is the accepted standard in today's society. But years ago, no. If the Torah doesn't want you to wear leather, so number one, the don't violate the halacha. Number two, don't violate the spirit of the law. And the spirit of the law is, shouldn't be comfortable. How are you not going to be comfortable? You go barefoot. And those days, they didn't have floors like this. Go to a shul, they were splinters, they wasn't so comfortable. But it's not proper to appear barefoot in davening. It's not, people should see your toes and see all these things on your legs. It's not proper. So the kittel would go and cover your feet. They wore gowns. It's an amazing insight. They wore gowns. Okay, the next thing is, you go to Eichler's today. You buy a kittel. Okay, the cheapest kittel, I think, is like $30. $30. Maybe $20, you can get one. $20. Then if you want a designer kittel, a designer kittel, all different types of zippers and types of ornaments, is there something to it? In fact, there are pages and pages here, the yes. Well, we have to go back to the original source. Why do we wear a kittel? If you bring it, because it's tachrichin, tachrichin, clothing of the dead, buy the cheapest. What?
Shomrei Hadass doesn't help design the kittel.
They have different. There are different. There are different levels. There are different types. But if it's because of tachrichin, then no, you wear the sinless. But if it's because you want to be compared to the malachim, because you want your sins to turn white, you want, what are the other reasons? Because b'chol eisiyu b'godecha levanim, then it's not just because, especially being a malachim, then it's not just to wear tachrichin, the simplest. You should adorn yourself in a beautiful white garment. And indeed, there were customs, maybe it's still done today, I do not know, where they even had silver atara on the kittel. On the talis, you have an atara. On the shoulder section of the kittel were gold and silver designs. And the medals, okay? You come in with your veterans, come in their medals. This is all a mahader in appearing beautiful on the yomim noiram. Now, some go so far, this is what you touched upon. There's another inyan another inyan why we wear a kittel. And it's not so much, as a sixth reason, it's not so much wearing a kittel only for the yomim noiram, but it's to take the kittel from Pesach. So I told you already, I told you for five reasons for a kittel. And those five reasons are unique to Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. There's a sixth reason. Nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Forget about it. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you don't need the kittel. The only time you should wear a kittel is Pesach at the Seder. Why Pesach at the Seder? Gilui Shechina. At the Seder, Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Klal Yisrael. Matzah zo she'anu oichlem al shuma. Al shum shlei hispik b'tzekam lahachmitz ad shehigle aleihem melech malchei hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu ugi olam. V'yavarti be'eretz mitzshan aniv lei malach. Pesach is on a higher level than Yom Kippur. Because Pesach Hashem Himself revealed His presence to Klal Yisrael. It doesn't say anywhere that Hashem reveals Himself to a Jew on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, not to the Yochid, not to the Klal. But Hashem revealed Himself to Klal Yisrael on Pesach. Gilui Shechina. When you sit by the Seder, you're a Malach. You're sitting with a very high level of Kedusha. You dress as a Malach, you dress with a Kittel. That's the, you know, wearing a Kittel on Pesach. And not only that, what does it say about the Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim? The Egyptians gave them gold and silver and they draped it around their shoulders. there's a pasuk and there's a medrash, and therefore bidafka on Pesach you should wear a kittel with gold and silver over your shoulders, a zecher for the bizas Mitzrayim, and the bizas Mitzrayim that was draped over their shoulder, the gold, the smallest that was thrown upon their shoulders as they left Egypt by the Egyptians. Now comes the Yom Noiran, and we're in a lot of trouble. We are in a lot, it's Yom Hadin, we have sins, and we need every schus that we possibly can. What do? Take out the kittel from Pesach. Take out the magic garments. Maybe when we wear the kittel from Pesach on the Yom Noiran, it will be a zechus. Hashem will remember our Seder. Hashem will remember the simcha of the Seder. He'll remember the matzah, the mitzvahs that we've done at the Seder. We mentioned, and Yom Noiran, in the Al Minhagim section, you don't give out, you don't feed children, you don't eat nuts on the Yom Noiran. Why not? Because ego is the gematria chet. But what about Pesach? What's the, one of the first halachas in Shulchan Aruch Pesach at the Seder? You distribute nuts to the children. What's going on? Pesach giving out nuts. And so why? Because it goes two ways. It's a gematria tov, a gematria chet. What is it? And what do we explain? That on Yom Noirahim, we do tshuva machmas yira. So Zedoinois Naseh Shkogos. Shkog is also not so good. But on Pesach, Nistan at the Seder, it's a Zman of Ahav of love. Zedoinois Naseh Zechuyois. So Hayim Adrega Pesach. The Mela, we take the kittel from Pesach and we bring it over to the Yamim Noirahim. On Pesach, everyone agrees the kittel, if you can, should have, well, not everyone, that you should have gold and silver on your beautiful kittel. And now that you're coming to the Yom Noiran, you're taking the kittel from Pesach, so you're wearing your beautiful kittel that you had on at the Seder as a zechus, as a reminder before HaKadosh Baruch Hu for yourself. Therefore, it's the gold and silver, the Bizas Mitzrayim that's on your shoulder, you have such a type of kittel at the Seder. So that's a very interesting idea. The design, there is definitely something to a designer kittel.
What about Shana Rishon?
Oh, so Shana Rishon, very good. So what about Shana Rishon? So what's the Makar? So believe it or not, this is totally new to me. I always thought the reason why a chassan does not wear a kittel Shana Rishon is because the simple reason why you wear a kittel is tachrichim. Yeah. That's pretty straightforward. You're supposed to always be in a state of joy. You're supposed to give joy to your wife the first year. If you're wearing a kittel, it's depressing. Husband comes home. Where did you come from? Where did you come from? You're wearing a kittel. It's not something which evokes the emotion of simcha. So you're violating the simach shana rishona v'simach chosan v'simach asish loyav. What does it say? Parshki say it say. Person gets married the first year. He doesn't go out to war. He should v'simach asish for the first year loyach vol rechaim v'rochev. He's not allowed to engage in a heart crushing labor the first year. He has to give joy to his wife. You don't wear a kittel. It's not the pshat.
Like the Pesach also.
Well, it depends why you wear a kittel. Why you wear a kittel on Pesach? If you're wearing a kittel because of some of the commentators explain the reason why you wear a kittel on Pesach is because since you're drinking so much wine and you're rejoicing, there's such a great degree of joy. Pesach, it's you bring out the best kalim. There's a danger you'll get carried away. Don't over rejoice on the night of the Seder. Night of the Seder, there's no limit. Shulchan Aruch, Dalit, Kais of Yayin, there are great dangers to get carried away. You have to balance, put in check that danger by wearing a kittel which reminds a person of the Yom HaMisa. So if that's the reason to remind you of the Yom HaMisa, a chassan would not have to wear a kittel on the Pesach. Or the reason why you're wearing a kittel is because you want to rejoice in the Shechina. The Shechina appears before Klal Yisrael. You want to be like a malach, and you want to, b'chol eis, the lavan represents tahara, represents freshness, represents kedusha, then even a chassan would wear a kittel the night of the night. But that's not the only reason. The ikar reason why a chassan does not wear a kittel the first year, the ikar reason, not because of the simach hasishtai, it's because traditionally, going back, who knows how far back, boys got married before they were 20 years old. Ben Shmoyne Esrei L'chopa. People did not have such long life expectancies years ago. Life was much shorter, and people got married when they were much younger, because who knows how much longer a person is going to be. No, you're not going to take any risks to wait around. Who knows how long you'll be around in this world? All of the problems of Golis, of Jewish history, world history. They got married much younger. But a person is not a Bar Oinshin until he's 20 years old. The typical Chassan was 18, at least not more than 18 years old. But he's not a Bar Oinshin until he's 20 years old. Therefore, being that the Kittel also carries Misa, it carries this Pachad of Din, or forget about Misa, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Yom Hadin. You're not 20 years old yet. You're not really shaykh to what Yom Kippur is all about. Forget about Misa. Okay, you talk about it's Yom Hadin. We're being like a Malach. You're going to be. Our sins should turn white. You're not 20 years old. You're just a yingle. You're not shaykh to this whole Yom Kippur business. Okay, you bar mitzvah, you daven, you do everything. But we have to differentiate the men from the boys. Memela, the boys don't wear a kittel. Nothing to do with being married. Nothing to do. Has to do with 20 and above, 20 and below. This is what happened. This is what it says here in the books. Since typically the average guy got married when he was 18, 19 years old, so the Shana Rishona, he was not yet 20 years old. He was only 19 years old. You believe this? He got married when they're 18. So the Shana Rishona, they were either 18 or 19. They weren't yet 20 years old. Also, you're not wearing a kittel. Why not? Oh, you just got married. When they were 20, it was the second year of their marriage, most of these people were already in their 20s. They already became 20 years old. Oh, you're 20 years old. You're a Bar Oinshin. You've graduated. You're a man. You're Shaykh Yom Kippur. Now you put on a kittel. This line got blurred, got confused. It got confused. So therefore, many of the Paiskim, many of the Hasidic Rebbes, the Machlok, different Hagim, Satmar, he brings in all different customs, is that, but today, where it's very common, even among Hasidim, where they get married when they're 20 years old, you're already 20 years old. It's just so what? Just because you're Shana Rishona, put on a kittel right away. There's no excuse not to wear a kittel. But if you're not married, already then it's already a person, then the same, there's a wife and responsibilities, so then the, for whatever reason the custom was, you can keep your kittel off. The line was blurred. It originally started with 20 years, not 20 years. But because it always overlapped with Shana Rishona, the Tofel became the Iker, and the Iker became the Tofel. Marriage became the Iker, and then if you're married, the first year you don't wear a kittel, and the second year you're already 20, so then you wear a kittel. But that's not where it all started. So if you want to go back to the time, the real Makar, and today in our time it's very common when a person gets someone over 20 years old, there's really no reason why a person should not put on a kittel when he's already... The first year of marriage is so why not when you're 20 years old? Because if you're not wearing a talis, I guess you're not going to wear a kittel either. I guess that's the assumption. Okay, so we'll leave it with that, and we'll stop because it's already in place. We'll stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow. I had Dafyomi, I wanted to tell you, but we'll have to do that tomorrow.